have to tell you, I spent quite a bit of time thinking through that. And I think I made the right decision to go with Gratitude-er. I mean, it's fun to say, right? I mean, try it. Gratitude-er. Try it. See, it's fun, right? Gratitude-er. So I do not particularly like dualistic terms. In fact, I try to avoid any. Yet here I am asking you if you are a gratitude-er or a grumbler, if you are one or the other. I don't know about you, but I would have to say that it depends on the day. That I am both. And it seems to me that within each of us, within each human being, there is the capacity to be a grumbler or a gratitude-er. Are you a grumbler or a gratitude-er? I will tell you that some days I am more of a grumbler. Adam may be nodding his head right now. I don't know. There are so many studies about gratitude-ers. I spent a good deal of time reading through the research, and here is the summary. Grateful people are happier people. They are physically healthier. They have more friends, and they all practice gratitude regularly. They practice gratitude. They choose to be grateful. They write thank you notes. They send thank you emails and thank you text messages. They keep gratitude journals, where every day they spend time reflecting on the experiences and things and people that they're grateful for, and they write them down, and they don't write down the same things every day, so they pay attention. I mean, they really pay attention to the goodness around them. The little things. Thank you for the sweetness of plums, and thank you for the farmer who grew them, and thank you for the truck driver who drove them to the store, and thank you for the ability to buy fruit, and thank you for the refrigerator to put it in. When you are around gratitude-ers, you feel better. There is this light about them. You can be in the worst mood, but when you are around gratitude-ers, well, you always leave with just a little more joy. That's another study, by the way. So we typically think about joyful people being grateful people. I mean, you know that they have all this goodness to be grateful for, and so they're grateful, but actually it's the other way around. Grateful people are joyful. Gratitude leads to joy. Gratitude-ers get that. So they choose to be grateful by actively expressing gratitude through their intentional practices of saying thank you. They are gratitude-ers. Now, as for grumblers actively look for things to be upset about and talk negatively about. Now, I want to be clear that I am not saying that we shouldn't identify the things in our world that need to change and actively talk about them and work to change them. We can and we should do that, but we do not have to become grumblers in order to do that. In fact, our most powerful witness is to join in God's work with joy. As Martin Luther King Jr. said, hate does not drive out hate. Only love can do that. Grumbling does not drive out the problems of our world. Ever been around some grumblers and thought, man, if you would just take that energy you are using to grumble and actually do something to make things better, but then, of course, if the thing that they were grumbling about got better, they'd have to find something else to grumble about. I was in a room with a lot of people recently, and everyone was sitting at these tables and sharing a meal together, and there was this joyful sense around. I mean, the whole room, you could just feel it. I was walking around and getting my food, stopping to say hi to people here and there, and there was just so much positivity in the air, except for this one table. And as I walked by, I could just feel it. I could feel the grumbling coming from this table. And there was this negative energy that just surrounded them. And I glanced over and they were leaning into each other. And their body language and their expressions made it clear that they were grumbling. That they were quiet. And so no one knew what they were discussing. But nobody came by to talk to them. Nobody wanted to be near that table. In fact, there were two people who were sort of at the end of the table who just ate pretty quickly. And then they came up to me sometime later, and they said that they just had to get away from all that negative energy, that it was just so like wearing on their spirit to be around all that grumbling. And isn't that so true? Grumbling produces this negative energy, and it just takes a toll on you. And here's the deal. Some people have been grumbling for so long, And they've been a part of a group of grumblers for so long that they think that that low attitude, that low feeling, the bad attitude, the talking negatively, they think that all that is normal. They've normalized grumbling. And you know, there's actually science about this. Like, if year after year you're so negative and you only see the bad and complain, well, you train your brain to be that way. And the older you get, the harder it is to think differently. You actually lose the ability to be grateful. You don't know how to be grateful anymore. You don't know how to express gratitude anymore. So the word from Scripture today is to be thankful. Here's the verse, verse 15. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Have you ever met a grumbling person or been around a grumbling group and thought, oh, the peace of Christ is ruling in their hearts? Yeah, I want to be like them. No, of course not. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work to be a grumbler and to be a great witness for Christ. And this early Christian community for whom the letter is written, there's some grumblers in it. And meanwhile, there is the good news of Jesus Christ to share with the world. The world is so desperate to hear a word of hope. People are so hungry for peace, the peace that passes understanding, the peace that a relationship with Jesus Christ can provide. And so the author is saying, become a thankful community. Because the negative energy from grumbling is preventing the flow of grace into the world. That's the big consequence of grumbling. Grumbling prevents the flow of grace into the world. And there is a flow. And we are the ones who have the power to let the flow of grace flow through us to others or not. There is a ripple effect to grace. And gratituders, well, they make the greatest waves of grace in the world. Because they acknowledge the blessing and the one from whom all blessings flow. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. We sing it every week. There is a source to the goodness in the world and in our lives. Gratituders acknowledge the source. When we express gratitude, we're saying that we are not the source of the good thing. We are the recipient of this unearned blessing that has flowed to us, and so we say, thanks, thank you, God. And when you receive the grace given to you, when you receive the blessing that has flowed to you, when you express thanks and become thankful, as the scripture says, well, the flow of grace will flow through you to bless others. I have heard it called cascading grace. Cascading grace. People will see the effects of God's grace on you. How it has changed you for the better, how joyful you are, and that the gratitude that joy is grounded in, and they want that. They want to experience that too. They wonder if it can happen to them. Do you suppose that could happen to me? Do you suppose my life could be more full of joy and peace? They become open to grace, and they start to see it flowing to them, and they step into it, and it washes over them, and it refreshes them, and then they say, thanks. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. And then it flows on to the next person, and the next, and the next. Gratituders keep the flow of grace going on and on. Be thankful. A short but powerful sentence in Scripture. Be thankful. The Greek reveals something important that is, it's hard to capture in the English translation. The Greek word is ginomai, and it's in the middle active tense, meaning that the subject is the one to take the action, and the subject is also the beneficiary of the action. And this is in the imperative, so it's a command. It's an instruction, not an invitation, and it's plural. Okay, so the sentence is really more like, y'all become thankful. Y'all become thankful. And the meaning is, y'all become thankful, and becoming thankful will be good for y'all. It'll be good. Becoming thankful. Becoming is different than be. Be is in the moment. It is stagnant, it's fixed, but becoming, well, becoming is about movement. Becoming signifies a change that you once were this way, but now you're moving towards something else. It implies growth. And that's it. That's the Christian journey. We grow towards becoming more and more like Christ. We become more and more aware of all that has been given to us and the source of it all. And we become more and more grateful. When a crowd of people were hungry and all they had was a boy's lunch to feed thousands, Jesus took the food that he had and he gave thanks, and it was enough. And when his dear friend Lazarus died, Jesus gave thanks to God for hearing his prayer. And on the night in which he knew he was going to be handed over to suffering and death, Jesus took bread and he gave thanks. Bill Bryan, beloved minister who was an associate minister here for a time and who recently passed away from pancreatic cancer, was diagnosed just this past February with cancer. And it was shared at his funeral that there was a 6-foot radius around Bill that was absolutely a snark-free zone. It was a snark-free zone. And they said this, that it doesn't mean that he wasn't deeply perceptive about human personality and ready to form his own judgments. He was great about diagnosing human foibles, but he wasn't mean or patronizing. He wasn't a grumbler. Another colleague shared that she asked Bill what had changed for him since his diagnosis. And he said his prayer life. His prayer life had changed. He said for a long time he had been giving requests to God, but that had changed. It's all thanks and praise now, he said. It is all thanks and praise. Y'all become thankful. The Message paraphrase of this text puts it this way. Cultivate thankfulness. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. I think that's right. There is a connection between cultivating thankfulness and making room in our lives to see the good news that's being given to us, even now. The hope is always there. The peace is always there. The grace is always there. Our part is to give it room so that we can see it. Making room to see is making room for gratitude. The artist, Georgie O'Keeffe, is famous for her depiction of flowers. She decided to give an individual flower the whole canvas. So here's a picture of one of her paintings. When she was asked why she decided to give so much room to one flower, she said this, "Nobody sees a flower, really. It's so small, we haven't time to see, and it takes time. Like to have a friend takes time. When you take a flower in your hand and really look at it, it's your world for a moment. I want to give that world to someone else. Most people in the city rush around so. They have no time to look at a flower. I want them to see it, whether they want to or not." Perhaps that's why we need one another. We need the church. I will tell you that if it wasn't for the community of faith in my life, I would be a grumbler more days than not. I really would be. We help one another to stop and make room in our lives to see God's grace coming to us. Through the most ordinary things, we see the holy and we say thanks. Thanks for getting us through. Thanks for beauty. Thanks for nature. Thanks for friends. Thanks for laughter. Thanks for lollipops. Thanks, God.
You think this is just another day in your life? It's not just another day. It's the one day that is given to you today. It's given to you It's a gift. It's the only gift that you have right now. And the only appropriate response is gratefulness. If you do nothing else but to cultivate that response to the great gift that this unique day is, if you learn to respond as if it were the first day in your life and the very last day, then you will have spent this day very well. Begin by opening your eyes and be surprised that you have eyes you can open. That incredible array of colors that is constantly offered to us for pure enjoyment. Look at the sky. We so rarely look at the sky. We so rarely note how different it is from moment to moment with clouds coming and going. We just think of the weather. And even of the weather, we don't think of all the many nuances of weather. We just think of good weather and bad weather. This day, right now, is unique weather. Maybe a kind that will never exactly in that form come again. The formation of clouds in the sky will never be the same that is right now. Open your eyes, look at that. Look at the faces of people whom you meet. Each one has an incredible story behind their face. A story that you could never fully fathom. Not only their own story, but the story of their ancestors. We all go back so far. And in this present moment, on this day, all the people you meet, all that life from generations and from so many places all over the world, flows together and meets you here like a life-giving water if you only open your heart and drink. Open your heart to the incredible gifts that civilization gives to us. You flip a switch and there is electric light. You turn a faucet and there is warm water and cold water. And drinkable water. It's a gift that millions and millions in the world will never experience. So these are just a few of an enormous number of gifts to which we can open your heart. And so I wish you that you will open your heart to all these blessings and let them flow through you. That everyone whom you will meet on this day will be blessed by you. Just by your eyes, by your smile, by your touch, just by your presence. Let the gratefulness overflow into blessing all around you. And then it will really be a good day.
Let the gratefulness overflow into blessing all around you, and then it will really be a good day. So may it ever be.